nine speeches about Islamic religious services and how it can contribute to prevent radicalization. But religious services, what I mean by this is not only religious activities in the prison, but the whole, what we call religious policy, religious services, and also the imams in the prison are parts of this policy. And I will focus on some fundamentals of our, what we call Dutch model or approach. But let me begin with some statements which are very important, I think. First, Islamic chaplaincy or religious counseling is a care. It's a humanitarian assistance like psychology, medical care, and so on. The second point is Islamic chaplaincy is to assess detainees in giving concrete expression to their right to practice belief and as stated in many confessions. Third, preventing radicalization, in our point of view, should be seen as a by-catch, but not as the main objective or target of Islamic chaplaincy or chaplaincy in general, because we have to avoid what we call instrumentalization or secularization of this profession. When you use or misuse religious counseling or religious spiritual care for other purposes, for example intelligence, it will be not fair, and it is for the long term not very effective. The other point is the care consists of a coherent number of services and is based on daily and close contact to the detainees. So we are not working on demand. And that is the last point. Islamic chaplaincy, prison imams in the Dutch system are part of the system, of the prison services. But at the same time, we are independent. So we are part of the system because our chaplain, our imams, have been involved in many consultative bodies within the organization, acting as advisor and sparring partner in issues regarding identification of religious behavior, including expression of radicalization. And we are independent because we act conform the legal position of chaplaincy, for example, the job secrecy, and to be confidential. And we are also critical to the organization. For example, when there is something wrong in judging the religious behavior, or in general, in case of violating the human rights in general. So, another important point, or starting point in our point of view is the prevention or combating radicalization in the prison services important starting point is that the what we call the management of religion, because there is many things said this morning about the management in the prison, but religion in itself has also to be managed. The problem is how to do this. You know the principle of separation between church and state. The state cannot do anything in regulation or managing the religion. What is the alternative? In our case, the alternative is Islamic chaplaincy. So you need a special policy about management of religion in the public domain, in this case in the prison services, also including dealing with what we need, religious needs and religious diversity. You have Catholic people, you have Protestant people, maybe you may see, now you have also Muslims, so you have to do something to manage the religious diversity. So, preventing religious radicalization begins with having a clear policy on how to deal with Islamic religiosity as a new phenomenon in this specific area. In the Netherlands, we try to reach this aim among others by the implementation of a well-organized service of spiritual care, or chaplaincy. And an important dimension of spiritual care is, of course, offering religious guidance and counseling to detainees. So, prison imams, in this case, prison spiritual caregivers, have been part of the service since 2008. Since then, we have had in each prison one or more imams. So, this is our corps. Many imams, in fact, in each imam we have. In each prison, we have one imam. In the northeast, for each 90 detainees, we have one full-time imam. That is the north. So, in other words, we are very close to detainees. And we can give them all the religious needs they have. So, these prison imams, as you see, including women, it's not only men, but also women, cover the whole landscape of Islamic religion diversity. The imams are also very diverse in their background. We have more than 10 ethnicities, including imams from Dutch origin. Our prison imams are high educated and they have most of them attended Dutch universities and got a master degree. They work in the prison with a team. They work together with other colleagues from other religious denominations. They receive additional training through their careers, through permanent education. We have a big project for education, permanent education and professionalization of the imams. And they act also of the sparring partners or advisors for the prison institutions when it comes to religious matters, including radicalization. So, there are maybe general starting points about our approach. Now, I will go to more details how we do things to prevent radicalization. Last year, as you know, there is a clear connection, you can't see a lot of things about radicalization, about justification of radicalization, but the religious aspect is very important. There is a clear connection between detention and radicalization, and many people who committed terroristic attacks last year come from prison in Spain, in Belgium, in France, the UK. So, what factors contribute to the religious radicalization of Muslim detainees? That is a very important question. And the second question, what is the role of Islamic spirituality? What is the role of prison imams to prevent it? So the following explanation applies to these two main questions. And the insight I give you, I share with you now, are based on our experience. So there are some pictures about, as you see, the swim ceremony. So this is because we are part of the system, so we have to swim, but we are good public servants. You can see the very symbolic picture. You see the Imam Shirin shaking his head. This is another Imam, and this is the left one is the president of Muslim representative body in the Netherlands, because the whole project is a collaboration between the Islamic community and the Dutch government. So the Muslim chaplain or prison imams are representing both. They are representing the government. This is our director. The director is a public servant. We are and public servant, both public servant and religious leaders. So, in general, when you speak about the connection between detention and radicalization, there are five risks. There is more, but I will focus on these five very important points. The first one is, the first risk is the influence by prison imams or religious leaders who visit the detainee. So the second one is a lack of religious supervision of the detainee. The third point is recruitment by other detainees than the religious reading material. And five, influence of external network and community. So if you have prison imams and you have some trouble with appointing this imam, there is a risk of radicalization, because if you have the imams themselves are radicalized, you have a big problem. So I will go now with more details. By the first point, influenced by prison imams who are themselves radical. So I think it's clear that you have to do something with religious diversity, you have to appoint religious leaders or professionals, imams, but if this imam and themselves are radical, then you have a big problem. But they are going spreading radical truths, so how to provide this? We do this by careful selection. We have a very strict selection and criteria to select the prison imams. Also, we provide them supervision and professionalization, as I told. before. If you do this, at least you minimize, and I think also you exclude imams with a radical background. So our present imams are characterized by the following attitude. So we are looking for imams who fit the following attitudes. First, the present imam, men and women, both, is appointed as public servant to offer religious counseling and spiritual care to the detainee. So he or she are public servant, is not only representing a particular religious group, but also the society. That is the meaning of public servant. When you are public servant, you have to keep in mind you are representing the interests of the whole society. So we can detect people if they have the first imams, if they have this attitude. Also, he or she is acting in the prison by providing money services. As I said, the services, for example, what you call intake interviews. So at the beginning of the jail, the prison period, we immediately go to the detainees and talk to them. Then we have also individual confidential talks. We have group discussion, frequent services, cultural conversations, prior services during religious phase, and also many other interventions. So that is what I call to be close to detainees. We can't see the detainees at many moments a day, a week. So if there is something wrong, for example, in this case, radicalization, we can detect it immediately and we can deal with it, we can act with it, to it. So the second attitude is prison imam also have to provide other services and have to be able to provide, for example, practical and what we call strategic importance services to the board and personnel and the staff of the prison services. For example, how to deal with religious and cultural diversity. So you have to be the skills and the tools to advise, to be also as advisor of the staff of the prison board about religious diversity or cultural diversity, and also to provide strategic services which include or can include advice regarding prevention and combating radicalization. For example, how to put things of radicalization in the right context and to examine whether these things really belong to radicalization and if so, how to avoid escalation. Because when you detect some radicalization in a specific context, the next problem is how to deal with it. We try to de-escalate, to do something, to act in a way that we can avoid escalation, that people de-radicalize immediately. The other attitude or skill imam has to have is the prison imam see it as his or her duty to contribute to security, peace, and public order. So our imams are religious leaders, professionals, but they have to have the attitude that they are working in order to contribute to security, peace, and public order. So this is a theological target. You have to believe in it, that this is your your task, not only leading people to the paradise in the afterlife, but also to be a good citizen, in other words. Another skill or attitude, the present imam sees it as his or her duty in general to contribute to the cohesion of society and to combat destructive phenomena such as radicalization. We believe that radicalization is a wrong way to express your being, and you have to believe in it. There is no compromise with it. Radicalization is wrong. So as present imam, you have to be aware of it and to translate this in your work. The present imam is also committed to combating radicalization outside the prison. It's not only in the prison, but also outside. So you have to be consistent, the same message in the prison and also outside the prison. As you know, in our system in the Dutch, maybe in other countries, the Shetland prison, Shetland is a bridge between inside and outside. So, the other point is just a moment. Yeah. So the imam, prison imam, have also to be able to organize to via training programs offered by the prison services or directors to work on refreshing and maintaining his of her knowledge. So our tactic is to build the experience, and that is a big difference between when you are part of the system or you work on demand. So we build experience, and with the experience and knowledge we can share it with other people, with our colleagues, and so forth, and also experience regarding radicalization or seeing some radicalization. So as I said, this is a question of permanent education, permanent professionalization. Then the second point, the lack of religious supervision of detainees. If in a specific prison there is no religious guidance, there is no religious supervision, I think at least in the case of Muslim detainees, they have to look for some people who do it, who do this task in the prison. For example, in Madrid, last month I thought, maybe 2 months ago, there is a terroristic attack by some people, and they were educated by the imam, which was they become imam in the prison. So it was a normal detainee, but they got the opportunity to be an imam in the prison because other people thought that he is a good imam. So that is the consequence when you have no professional supervision in the prison. So the practice of religious in our case in the Netherlands, it's very regulated. So if you want to observe your belief, if you are Protestant, Catholic, or other denomination, you have to do this under supervision of a shepherd. So also if you are Muslim and you want to pray or something like this, you need the supervision of the imam. So I think it's very important point to prevent radicalization, because when you facilitate detainees in practicing the religion with a certain regulation, which means on the supervision of the imam, I think you can avoid the radicalization process. This is a sociological finding. This is a sociologist from the UK, Jim Bickford, and he did some research in UK prisons. And his conclusion was, when you facilitate the practice of religion, people don't become more religious, let alone more radical. And if you don't do this, there's a big chance that they become more religious and maybe more radicalized. Third point is recruiting through other detainees. Because we have a good system of spiritual care, of chaplaincy, all forms of practice religion in the prison are supervised by chaplain, in our case by imams. There is not very much opportunities to recruit detainees by other detainees. So the rest is being balanced, and if we see this, we can act immediately. So if somebody proclaims themselves as imam, we can see it, we can report, and we can talk with them, immediately to avoid this risk. Also, when some detainees try, for example, or express some radical thoughts, what we do is not immediately report to the director or to the intelligence. What we do is try to discuss these radical expressions, radical thoughts, in our what we call group discussion. So as I say, we have individual contact, we have Friday community primes, and we have also discussion groups. So we let people discuss with each other. And the conclusion is people become immediately, they get other points of view, and the conclusion is they become, they forget their radical thoughts. So there is a group that will act as prison imams, will act as, I don't know if this is a good translation, but a process manager. So without doing anything, without patience, we let people discuss with each other and the problem is solved. The third, number four, reading material. Very delicate point. We believe that when we started with this project, because we are now public citizens since 2007-8, and I visited many prisons at that time, and I found many literature, many books, and when I wrote in these books, now it was not really good literature. The most of them were for example, very fundamentalistic, what we call the Salafistic interpretation of Islam. So what we do, we try to advise the prison services, prison directors, to look at the reading material. Many people get reading materials which is sometimes very radical by their relatives, friends, something like this. And we can advise the staff, the directors, to be careful with it. And the last point, the influence of external, not works and communities. Also a very delicate point, we have established Islamic State Worker, Islamic Chaplaincy. We have a strict policy with regard to cooperation with organizations outside prison services. There are many networks that desire access to Muslim detainees, want to do something for Muslim detainees. Maybe with good intentions, but when you try to assess and to find out what is their background, you discover that they are maybe very radical. So we don't like to collaborate with these networks. Also, Islamic State Worker in Dutch prisons works selectively with voluntaries. We do have many voluntaries, but also the same process by prison imams. Our voluntaries are well selected, conform clear and strict criteria. Islamic Chaplaincy does not cooperate with requests from foreign powers. Many times in the past, at this moment not anymore, but in the past, many powers from Saudi Arabia, from Morocco, from Turkey, from Egypt, they want to give prisons, ready materials to prison through, for example, through Muslim imams. Otherwise, we don't collaborate with them. We advise the prison services to avoid this collaboration. Because in the end, that is the problem. I don't know what is the intention, but we think that the impact will be regarding radicalization, there is a risk of radicalization. For example, Qurans, we get sometimes Qurans from Qatar, from Saudi Arabia. So the Quran is a holy book, it itself is no problem, but when we get it by some country or some foundation, there maybe they have some intentions we don't like to be associated with them. So there are maybe in short some risks specifically connected with radicalization, and I hope I got some impression how we deal with it. But our work is more broader than this, and thank you for your attention.